Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
This week, we continue in our study of high places, things that happen on the Mount. And it's my turn today. How many of you are familiar with this phrase? These daughters are my daughters, these children are my children. And this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. You know who said that? That was my intention. So we're going to... That was the attention getter, okay? So we're gonna find out who said that. But before we do that, we're going to have to give a little background. Today we're going to be studying... Mount Mizpah, or Mizpah Mount. And I have to put this up here because I used some stuff from the Logos company, and this is just a disclaimer. We're not using this for commercial purposes or anything like that, but they don't mind us using their stuff as long as we put this statement up here. So, got that taken care of. We're studying high places. We're going to look at Mizpah. Now, there were several Mizpahs, and I don't know if y'all remember, I did Mizpah last summer when we studied places, and we covered several Mizpahs, but we're only going to study one today because there's just too much stuff here to talk about. This place is an elevated mound in the land of Gilead, just east of the Jordan River. And it's about Jacob, really. We find this in Genesis 31. And the exact location of this particular Mizpah is still debated today. It's a lot of these places, we don't know exactly where they're at down to the foot, but we know kind of pretty much what area it is. And we can certainly learn a lot of lessons from studying these. Okay, Mizpah, just a little word study here, means the watchtower. It's the lookout. It was usually a high place, which made a great lookout spot. Mizpah comes from a Hebrew root word meaning to make bright, so you can see for far away. It's fitting because Mizpah was to be a place of watchfulness and alertness, and we're going to see why. This particular place, this particular Mizpah we're discussing today, this is a place in Gilead. Now, Gilead itself means a hill of testimony. And Mizpah is a place in Gilead so named by Laban, who overtook Jacob in this spot on his return from Canaan and Padan Aram. And when you come to these words that are difficult to pronounce, you just say it with authority, and people just think you know how to say it. So there, Padan Aram. This is what we're talking about today. I don't know, Gilead. You know, we sing the song, "There's a balm in Gilead." Well, that's because in that particular territory, it was an important source of spices and medicinal herbs. And Jeremiah 8:22 says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people?" And that's why they used Gilead to say things like that. Okay? So our story begins way back, and I'm going to take you way back to the beginning, Father Abraham. And what I want you to get from this particular map, this is Abraham's journey. God told him to leave his country and go to Canaan. When he started, he was way down here in Ur of the Chaldees. That's where he started. Terah, his father, took Abraham and Sarah and Lot, and they went up here to Haran. I don't know if you can see that or not. Can y'all see that in the back? Probably not. H-A-R-A-N, Haran. That's where they stayed. Of course, Terah died there, and then we see, and Cody used this scripture this morning in the 12th chapter of Genesis. God tells him to go to Canaan. So Canaan is down here. This is the country that we normally think of as Canaan. So this was Abraham's journey from way over here, Ur of the Chaldees, up to Haran. And the reason they didn't go across, straight across here, is that's just desert. You'll die if you go across there. It's very difficult to travel straight across there. Abraham ultimately wound up in Egypt. Cody referenced that to this morning. And then Abraham came back to Canaan. So, in fact, I wish I'd have heard Cody's lesson before this, because this, what we're talking about today, really could be a character study for Cody's lesson. Fred.
Canaan an actual country, or was it an area in which several countries existed?
Canaan was an area that several countries existed. It was an area just much like Padan Aram. It was a kind of a larger area. Fred asked if Canaan was a country or just an area. There was a person named Canaan. All of these people are related. You know, that's what keeps amazing me. When I studied the Bible, I ignored a lot of the names and the places. And you miss a lot when you do that. It's hard for me. I'm terrible with names, but that's what we're going to do today, is kind of focus a little bit on this. All right. Well, that's Abraham's journey. Let's look at Abraham's family tree. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these or not, but when you see a family tree, all of a sudden you realize how interrelated these people are. And they didn't think anything about marrying their cousin back in those days. In fact, they thought it was a good thing. But you see Terah at the top there. And Abraham was his son. And, of course, we're going to be talking about Jacob and Laban today, mostly. So Abraham, then Isaac, Jacob, of course, Jacob and Esau, you know that story. We're going to talk today a little bit about Rebecca. Rebecca was Laban's sister, and both of them, their father was Bethuel, who was Nahor's son, who was Terah's son. So they all kind of get back to the same root here. Just to kind of give you an idea, and I got this information from Strong's, the strongest of Strong's. I have Strong's book, you know, that has all the words in it. And in the back, there's a little neat section about just different facts about the Bible. And in there, it has that Terah begot Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And this was about 2166 B.C. So that's what we're talking about. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. That's 2066 B.C. Of course, B.C., we're coming this way towards zero. Isaac was 60 when Jacob and Esau were born. So that's around 2006 B.C. So that's kind of the time frame we're talking about here. Okay, so real quickly, Jacob and Laban's history. Of course, Abraham and Sarah have Isaac. And this kind of is pertinent to the story we're going to be talking about today, because Abraham didn't want Isaac to marry a Canaanite. So he sends his servant back to his country, back to Paddan Aram, and to find a wife for Isaac. Of course, he found Rebecca. And when Rebecca went and told her dad that, hey, there's a servant here, and told him what the story was and showed him the jewelry and stuff that he had brought, old Laban got excited. Laban was her brother, and he went over and he got the servant. He said, oh, come stay with us. We've got a place for you to stay. We've got hay and stuff for your animals. And he was just all excited about this. And I think it's kind of a first peek into what Laban's character is. And we're going to see more of that as we look at this today. So, Rebecca went back and, of course, married Isaac. And then Isaac and Rebecca had Esau and Jacob. So Jacob's really a nephew to Laban. Laban's his uncle. And of course, you all know the story about how Rebecca helped Jacob to deceive Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing that was really due Esau. And of course, that didn't make Esau very happy. Esau was a hunter, very rugged. And Jacob was not. We don't see, the record doesn't say anything about him being a great hunter or anything. In fact, it was kind of like more like he stayed around close to home, you know, and didn't do a lot. I won't say do a lot, but the record just didn't show that. He was just a very different person from Esau. Esau means hairy. Jacob means supplanter, because when they were born, you know, Esau came first, and then Jacob came, you know, holding on to his heel. So that's kind of an indication of things to come. All right, so Rebecca goes to Isaac, and she knows that Esau's mad. And she overhears Esau's plan to kill Jacob. And there's another thing going on here, that Rebecca and Isaac, just, they were bothered. At age 40, Esau married two Hittite wives, the Bible tells us. And in Genesis 26 and 34, it says they were just a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebecca. And so Rebecca goes to Isaac and talks to him, and Isaac sends Jacob back to Haran, back just like his dad did for him, to take a wife from the daughters of Laban, and Jacob's uncle. So Jacob goes off on this trip. And at the very beginning of this trip, we see in Genesis 28 where, and he was just started his journey, and he laid down to rest. He used a, I know y'all remember this as a kid's story, I'm sure, how he used a stone for a pillow. And then he had this dream, and he saw this ladder, you know, going up to heaven, and angels coming up and down it. And the Lord told him that night that he would take care of him, that he made a promise to him, very similar as the promise that God made to Abraham, that you know, his descendants would be many, and that this land would be his, and that he would bring him back. In other words, just like Cody's lesson, God was telling Jacob, don't worry, I'm with you. Don't worry. So Jacob, in that passage there in Genesis 28, made a vow that the Lord shall be my God. And he promises to give a tenth to God. So that happened right at the beginning of this journey. And I don't know if For some reason, when I remember this story as a kid's story, I never understood the context of that. But it didn't seem like Jacob had a very religious grounding to this point. And it comes to this part, and the Bible tells us, you know, he had, I guess, what we would call a come to Jesus, you know, moment where he realizes, hey, there is a God, and I need to pay attention, dedicate my life to him. So this is a very important part of Jacob's life. Okay, so Jacob's journey back to Haran. So this is kind of like almost the same map we looked at before. Haran is way up here, and Jacob starts down here in Beersheba. And, you know, this is like a 500-mile trip. It's a long way to go. It's like from here to Orlando, Florida. Can you imagine walking to Orlando, Florida? We could. I tell you what, those people, they didn't need any statin drugs back in those days. They were healthy. They did a lot of walking, and they were tough. I don't know if I could make it. So anyway, Jacob goes back to Haran, and there he meets Rachel at the well, where she came to water her sheep. You know, he rolled the stone away. Like, he gets there and he sees some guys there. What gets his attention is he sees all these sheep and they're waiting to be watered. And he goes and asks about Laban. And they said, oh yeah, we know Laban. In fact, here comes his daughter and she's a shepherdess. So Jacob falls in love. And Jacob and Laban, of course, when Laban hears that Jacob's there, she, you know, Rachel goes back and says, hey, we've got kinfolks here. And I don't know if the Bible doesn't say if Laban remembered. I'm thinking Laban remembered all that jewelry and stuff from the time before. And that's been like, it has to have been 60 years since Rebecca left. Because, let's see. Isaac was 40 when he took Rebekah to wife. Isaac was 60 when Jacob and Esau were born. And so Esau was 40 when he took those Hittite wives. And they were, Jacob and Esau were twins. It's had to be at least 60 years since all that happened. But so Laban brings Jacob in and says, yeah, stay with us. Good to see you. You can stay with us. And Jacob falls in love with Rachel and agrees to work for Laban for 7 years. You know, y'all all know this story. What happened was when 7 years was up, Laban gave him Leah instead, wife. And, of course, again, this is just a character study of Cody's lesson. Jacob didn't give up. You know, that would have defeated a lot of people to have worked 7 years and been given the wrong woman. Now, I don't know exactly how Laban pulled that off. I don't know whether it was dark or there was a veil or I don't know. But it happened. And that would have discouraged a lot of people. But they work it out. Jacob agrees to work another 7 years for Rachel. And Laban goes ahead and gives Rachel to Jacob. And over the course of those next few years, Jacob has 11 sons and one daughter. Now you're sitting there thinking, oh no, Jacob had 12 sons. Well, Benjamin wasn't born here. And that's another thing that didn't occur to me until I was studying this. So all those 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Jacob, the Israelites, the leaders were all born up in what we think of as Assyria. You ever thought about that? I, I don't know if that makes a difference, but it just gives me a different perspective, I guess, of where this family came from and who they are. So he had, in this order, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Y'all remember this song from Kids Sing, right? Well, that's where it ends because the order is different after that. It's then Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Dinah, the daughter, and of course, Benjamin, and then Joseph, and then Benjamin was later. So when Joseph was the last to be born up here. And when he was born, after Joseph was born, Jacob wanted to leave Laban and return to his land, to Canaan. By the way, nobody chuckled when this title comes up. Do you know what it means to get somebody's goat? Glenn does. What does it mean to get somebody's goat? Huh? I still didn't hear him. Trick them. Yeah, it means, you know, well, that really gets my goat. It's a source of irritation. Okay. And I did a little AI searching on that phrase. Where did that phrase come from? Well, AI didn't know. I mean, I don't think AI is much into the Bible. But I'm thinking it came from this story right here. Because Laban didn't want Jacob to leave. Jacob's flocks had increased a lot since Jacob took over. Laban could see that the Lord was with Jacob and was blessing him. And he was doing a good job as a shepherd. And he was making a lot of money for Laban. He prospered with Jacob tending his flocks. So he didn't want him going back home. So Laban said, you know, if you'll stay here and work with me, you know, what do you want? What, name your wages. Well, so they make a deal that Jacob, and this was at Jacob's, Jacob's the one that came up with this. He said, well, I'll keep all the, my wages will be all the sheep and goats that are speckled and spotted, and I'll take those, and, you know, I'll still work for you. So that's what happened. An interesting thing happened. Right after they made this agreement, Laban took all the speckled and spotted sheep and goats, and he separated them from his flock, and he took them 3 days' journey away because he really didn't want Jacob to be prospering any more than possible. So he kind of split out the flock, and he figured, you know, that Jacob has taken the runts, really, and that's the way he would kind of preserve Laban's flock. Well, it didn't happen like that. Let's see, 15 till. Yeah, let's take just a few minutes, turn to Genesis 30. Let's look at verse 31. It's kind of where it picks up, where Laban and Jacob are having this discussion about what his wages would be. Verse 31 is Laban's talking here. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown and among the lambs will be considered stolen if it was with thee. So this is kind of part of Jacob's plan for accountability. And this way Laban couldn't claim that he was stealing his things, you know. This was their agreement. So in verse 34, Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. In other words, yeah, I'm happy to do this. It's just kind of a weird way of saying it. But then verse 35, he said, so he, I used to think this was Jacob, but the he here is Laban. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Now that's Laban. Jacob's sons couldn't have been more than 13 years old, the oldest. As we're going to find out later that Jacob, in his discussion with Laban, said, hey, I worked for you 20 years. So 20 years, and I was first seven, you know, that he wasn't married. So the oldest of his sons had to be, couldn't be more than 13 years old, and the youngest was probably about six. So this had to be Laban here. So he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. So yeah, it's Laban. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So now we get this part that I really don't understand. But it's about Jacob, and he was take these rods of green poplar and almonds, and he would peel white strips of them, and he would expose the white which was in the rods. And he'd put the rods before the flocks in the gutters where they came to water, and so that they would conceive when they came to drink. Now, a few weeks ago, I went to a meeting at Marion Street in Huntsville, and there was this guy there. His name was Tony Sayer, and he actually raised sheep. And it was a very interesting thing. He was talking about leadership, really, and being a shepherd, and it was really aimed at the leaders in the church. But I asked him after, you know, he was standing in the back talking, and I asked him about this particular thing, and I said, did all those, putting those sticks in front of them, you know, what does that have to do with their breeding? And he looked at me and said, nothing. So, and I think all this, we'll find in the next chapter, it was God. It was God's providence. God was taking care of Jacob. Again, you know, he's being treated unfairly, and I keep thinking of Cody's lesson this morning. He didn't quit. He just kept on keeping on. And that's what we need to do. Okay, so long story short, the last verse here in this 30th chapter, thus the man, and it's talking about Jacob here, became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So he did good while he was there. All right. Chapter 31 is really where we discuss Mizpah. It's where Mizpah comes in. At the beginning of chapter 31, we see Jacob, he's overhearing Laban's sons, and they're not happy, as you could well imagine. I mean, people's livelihood was sheep and goats back in those days. And they were saying, hey, Jacob's taken away all that was our father's from what was our father's. He has acquired all of this wealth. And they were not real happy. And even Jacob could see that Laban didn't look at him like he used to. You know how you can tell when somebody's mad at you, right? You husbands, you know when your wife's mad at you. She don't have to tell you. You know, you can just tell. There's this countenance about them. Same thing here. It goes beyond wives, of course. It's with anybody. You can tell when somebody's not real happy with you. So we see that God tells Jacob to return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. He's again comforting him. So the Lord instructs Jacob to return home. So Jacob's out tending the sheep, And he calls for Rachel and Leah to come out there. And while he's explaining what he thinks their situation is, he tells them about a dream he had. This is from Genesis 31, 10 through 13. It says, "And it happened at the time when the flocks were conceived that I lifted my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the ram which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and speckled and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift up your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks and are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel." Now Bethel is where Jacob had that vision of the ladder. That's where he named it Bethel, because that Bethel means place of God. And he named it Bethel. And what God's doing here is he's reminding Jacob, I'm that God. I'm taking care of you. "Where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now rise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family." So even Rachel and Leah, they knew too that their father's attitude has changed toward them. And they knew he'd already spent their inheritance. They were considered strangers by him. And they told Jacob, "Whatever your God has said to you, do it." Now, there's a little insight right there, because Rachel and Leah have not quite gotten rid of their paganism yet. And they still call God, you know, "Whatever your God said, you know, go ahead and do it." And so Jacob took his sons and his wives, livestock, all of his belongings, and he headed toward the mountain of Gilead. And we know where Gilead is now. Laban was off shearing his sheep. So unknown to Jacob, Rachel took Laban's household idols. You know, I told you, they hadn't quite got rid of their paganism yet, and I guess she thought it would help them. And Jacob didn't know this. We find out this later, but Jacob did not know. So here's the path that they return. They start up here in Haran, and they come down, and they wind up right in this area right here. This is where they're going to wind up. The Bible says Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled, and he took his brethren with him, and he pursued him for 7 days, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. So that is where Laban overtook Jacob. So along the way, God appeared to Laban in a dream, and he warned him, be careful how you spoke with Jacob. So Laban catches up with Jacob, and he accuses Jacob of kidnapping and stealing his idols. And Jacob counters with, well, you know, I worked for you. It was not good. You changed my wages. And Laban's only answer to this was the statement that we read at the very beginning. This is verse 43 in chapter 31. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But then he adds, well, what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they've been born? Now therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone, set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jagar Sadahatha. But Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore its name is called Gilead. Also Mizpah, because may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. Now, perhaps you're familiar with that phrase. You ever seen one of these? These used to be popular. I don't know. Maybe they still are. I found this picture online. I guess they still sell them. But what it is a charm, and it's split in two. And the idea was, if you've got someone you're sweet on, somebody you're friends with, and you're fixing to be away from them a while, you can buy one of these things, and you give them half, and you take half. And what it says is, Mizpah, the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent from one another. And it's got Genesis 31:49 there. And that sounds all kind of lovey-dovey, doesn't it? It's a sweet thing to do. But actually, there was no affection in this statement. May the Lord watch between you and me was a statement motivated by wariness and distrust. The English Standard Version says, the Lord watch between you and me when we are out of one another's sight. Then he goes on to say, if you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is a witness between you and me. So this is more like a truce. So they kind of say, this is going to be the dividing line. I'm not going to cross this to harm you if you promise that you won't cross this point to harm me. So they set up a division. Then the next morning, we're told that Laban kisses his sons and daughters, blesses them, and then he departed. And that's the end of chapter 31 and really the story of Mizpah. Now, I usually don't get all the way through this time to do the lesson, so I'm happy about this. Let's talk about some lessons that we can learn from this story. Number one, we should always remember this: God's promises will be kept. And I put a few up here to remind you. So he made this promise to Abraham that, you know, through his family, all the earth should be blessed, and his descendants would be as many as the stars. And he makes almost the same promise, see, to Jacob, that his descendants would be as the dust of the earth, that he promised him Canaan land, and that his family's, the earth would be blessed through his family. He was going to keep him safe and bring him back. Of course, you know, all that came to fruition. But you think about this. Think about that statement that we read at the very beginning about, you know, these daughters are my daughters and these children are my children. Laban, that was Laban talking. That threatened to turn over the apple cart, so to speak, of God's plans, didn't it? God didn't let that happen. That could, of course, God could have then, you know, raised up more children to him. I think Jesus said God could raise up rocks to be children of Abraham, and he perhaps would have done it some other way, but he didn't. And this is what happened. So, you know, God makes a lot of promises to us. Cody went over, you know, several this morning. They're all over in John. If we walk in the light, see in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. One I wrote up here, he believes and is baptized will be saved, but he does not believe will be condemned. God keeps his promises. And we've got to learn that and trust in that. Lesson two. This is a hard one to learn. Sometimes we just have to agree to let it go and set up boundaries. And I don't know, I've never been to a counselor. Maybe I need to. But this is a technique that they use when people can't agree on things, they don't get along. You set up boundaries. So, you know, we saw that Laban made his argument. He said, hey, Jacob, you know, you left and you didn't even say goodbye. Well, that's really not a very nice thing to do. In fact, it's kind of deceitful. That whole family was kind of like that. He took his daughters and his grandchildren and he stole his idols. Now, Jake, of course, didn't know he had his idols. Y'all know what happened, don't you? Laban was searching for those idols, and Rachel was sitting on them. She told Laban that, you know, I'm in the way of women, which is, you know, kind of nice way of saying it's my time of the month. And of course, he didn't mess with that. She was kind of conniving too, you know. It amazes me when you get to looking at these little characteristics of people. We're not like Cody said this morning. Nobody's perfect. We all have our faults. We're just all trying to get along. And of course, Jacob makes his argument. You know, I worked for you for 20 years, and he also makes the argument, you were never going to let us go. You would never let us go. And he Laban had changed his wages multiple times, and of course, you know, Jacob said, you didn't find anything in my possessions. Of course, Jacob didn't know at that time. So they set up a boundary, and that's what we have to do sometimes. Another thing that we kind of think about here is, you know, Jacob's confession here kind of reminds us we need to keep a watch on our character and our integrity. So you can make these kinds of arguments. You know, it's important. You know, I think another example of this perhaps is Paul and Barnabas. You know, they disagreed about taking John Mark with them on the second missionary journey. So I think it's kind of in the same vein as this. You know, they agreed just to go kind of separate ways. They took different people and they went separate ways. And so, you know, that's just a way to take care of things sometimes. And things change. You know, they got back together. Paul and Barnabas, they got back together. Things can change. All right. Lesson 3. And this lesson was really hit me. You know, we're no different really from Jacob. Like Cody said this morning, you know, we all have struggles. We all go through significant chapters in life. You know, not everybody goes through all of these. Not everybody gets married, becomes a father. But, you know, we go through these. You have to have some kind of who you are, self-determination. You go through a period of love and marriage, fatherhood, domestic provision. You got to get a job and worry about how to take care of things. As you go along in life, you have to learn how to deal with people. You know, it's another thing. And we all need this personal and independent religious determination. And Jacob's, that kind of came first for him, in this story at least. Everybody needs to make a life-changing commitment, really, to serve God. Your parents' faith is not enough. You can't get by on your parents' faith. You've got to make it your own. And you gotta think about, again, I think about Cody's lesson this morning. You gotta serve God through the good times and the bad. And certainly after Jacob's, you know, commitment to God, things didn't go good for him the rest of his life. He had problems. We can see Laban took advantage of Jacob over and over. Later, and it comes after our story here, comes in later chapters, but his daughter Dinah was violated by Shechem, a Hivite priest. So that prince, that was not good. And of course, you know, we all know a story about how Jacob's own sons deceived him about Joseph. They told him he died. You know, he didn't have an easy life all the time. We won't either. But our job is to be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. You never know, really, if, you know, how things are going to turn out. And sometimes I'm reminded of this story. It's a Norwegian tale about fishermen. this guy was a fisherman, and he took his two sons to go fishing. And that day the fishing was pretty good, but in the afternoon there was a storm that came up, and they couldn't see the shoreline. They got lost. They got turned around. They were hopelessly lost, struggling for their lives. Meanwhile, while they were at sea, a fire broke out in the kitchen of his house. And before the fire could be extinguished, the fire had destroyed the family's possessions, the house, everything in it. It was gone. Finally, the father and the sons were able to make it back to shore. And the man's wife was waiting to tell him the news of the fire. She tearfully said, "Carl, the fire has destroyed everything. We have nothing left." And Carl was kind of unmoved by the news. He didn't have the response that she expected. And she asked again, "Didn't you hear me? The house is gone." And he said, "Yes, I heard you. But a few hours ago, we were lost at sea. And for hours, I thought we would perish. Then something happened. I saw a yellow glow in the distance. It grew larger and larger. We turned our boats toward the light. That same blaze that destroyed our home was the light that saved our life." So, you know, our job is to stay close to God. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. And we've always got to trust Him. All right. God is faithful. Trust God and let His plan work. The difference in Laban and Jacob is that Laban relied on his own wit, his cunning and deceit, and his own ways. Jacob trusted God and worked hard. I think he realized this. He says in Genesis 31:42, Jacob does, "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hand and rebuked you last night." But I think, like I say, Cody said this morning, that, you know, you go in stages. You don't become perfect all at once. You're never perfect. And Jacob was working on that. And I think he was beginning to see how God was taking care of him.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.